How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Fingan here with you live at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. We are here as part of the Coats for Kids Drive. Cromwell Media and the Nashville Predators teaming up to help people this holiday season. So if you have a new or slightly used coat you would like to bring to drop off here, please do so. We do have some incentive if you would like to come to this Ford Ice Center, because the Ford Ice Centers in Antioch and Clarksville are also taking your donations. But if you come to the Bellevue location, if you're nearby, with a coat donation, the first two people to do so will receive a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators host the Carolina Hurricanes on Monday evening, a little pre-holiday hockey. So come on down, come see us, come say hello, come help somebody out this holiday season. Before we move on, we touched on this just a second ago, Willie. I do want an update, selfishly, I do want an update on the Silly Underdog Picks bowl season leaderboard, because last Thursday, Derek, Chase, Chris Sanders, and myself, we picked two bowl games between last week and through the first round of the college football playoff, which starts tonight and continues tomorrow. So I would just like you to read the updated standings.
I got an objection here. You are part of the committee. The numbers come out when? On Friday at what time? At what time during Silly Underdog Picks?
Okay, so
that's when the numbers come out. So not before, right. Not after, but during that time period.
All precincts have not reported.
Exactly,
yet.
Absolutely.
A lot of the games have
however,
not been played yet.
However,
only three of the eight games that are picked have been
those
played.
Those are unofficial numbers that
so,
you may have heard
so
or
we
saw.
Will, we will preface that.
However,
those
however,
are official. No.
However,
you can't. No, we
and yet,
three of the games.
But right
played.
Now, who is going?
No.
Who is in first place for the race for second place?
No. The committee knows that it sits in a room until that time. They cannot right. come out of the room.
It's like when somebody puts something in an article and says, if the season ended today, here is the playoff matchup. Well, the season doesn't end today. It doesn't
exactly.
end for 3 months. Why are we talking about that?
Absolutely. So
that's your point. It's a well Thank played you. Point, D-Mace.
However.
Oh, no.
Adam
oh.
has won
Whoa.
His first game.
Yes.
Sam Houston
okay.
State.
Just say he has won his first game.
Yes. I have won my first
okay.
game.
And you have lost that. Your first game.
Yeah, I lost my first game.
And,
there are
and
other
Chris
games.
Sanders
Chris
lost
Sanders
his first
has
game.
Lost his first game. So three games have been played.
And Chase
Adam's
McKay.
Got the win. Chase still has two games left.
Okay.
When is the
I think it's
Tulane.
Today.
Is that today? Tulane.
I believe.
Florida?
I think we have that game on Sports Talk 8:30. I want to say.
Yep. At 2:30.
At 2:30.
Oh, okay. So okay. Chase will know. So if the season stopped today,
I would be the best of the second place.
Right. If the season stopped
but
right
the
now,
season
you'd be the first loser.
He would be. If the season started today, he would be the only one that has won a game.
Let's save everybody's time. I have overtaken Chris and Chase so right. far with my selection of Sam Houston over Georgia Southern, which happened last night.
And if Tulane comes up big, you'll be back down by the end of the day.
Come on, Florida.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Come on, Florida. We do have a question from Randy on our text line. Hopefully someone can answer this. Can you only bring kids' coats to Coats for Kids? Well, it is Coats for Kids.
Yeah, Coats for Kids. Bring kid coats.
What was that? Yep.
It's yes. It benefits the boys and girls.
Yes.
So I would say, you know, there's going to be some teenage, older kids.
Exactly,
right. Kids, so, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a small child,
yes,
but it
yeah.
is coats for kids. So
I guess teenager.
Keep that in mind. But yeah,
yeah. Teenager, kid.
If you're yes. not sure, bring it.
Yes.
You know?
If I can fit into it, it's too
there's
big.
There's probably some kids that can fit into it, though.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
there probably is.
But
a few.
Please, yeah. We would love for you to bring
find somebody that could use
your coats to us here at Ford Ice Center,
no
Bellevue.
No coach shaming. No coach shaming.
No coach shaming. Absolutely.
Bring them in. Bring them all in.
So one of the fun things about our station, we talked about it earlier with our line change, as Derek appropriately termed it. You know, there's always a bit of – let me tell you about one of the things I don't like about local news. And this has nothing to do with the people who are local news anchors on, you know, in this town, many of whom we know personally and we like. It's called crosstalk. It's the worst thing about local news. And Corey Curtis, if you're listening, you're a culprit in this as well. It's at the end of the broadcast where the news anchors, the sports anchor, and the meteorologist are all standing at the little table, and they're having a conversation that feels very forced. It's like they've never met each other in their life.
Of course, Anchorman does a classic job with this kind of thing. Right?
Yes, the crosstalk. Yeah. But it happens when we switch shows. So earlier this week, we were talking about Rancarthon, and a texter was talking about some of the player personnel decisions that Rancarthon has made and used the baseball terms. Like, Rancarthon hasn't hit a home run, let alone a double. So then we started going through some of these draft selections specifically and saying, is this a single? Is this a double? And we landed on Tavondre Sweat. And yesterday, I wish I had recorded the changing of the guard, so to speak, as we were coming off the air and Jared was coming on the air, because we got into a heated conversation, an animated conversation about Tavondre Sweat. We know how Jared feels about Tavondre Sweat. He didn't like the Titans taking a run-stuffing defensive tackle with a early second-round pick.
38th pick.
With the 38th pick. He does not like the value of the pick. So Willie, and if you haven't seen Willie get animated, it's one of my favorite things. I do like when Derek gets worked up, but it takes even more to get Willie worked up. And Willie was at a fever pitch yesterday afternoon as he and Jared were talking about this. So I wanted to bring this conversation on air because Jared's larger point about Tavondre Sweat is that how many sacks does he have? One or two?
He has one.
Okay, he has one sack. So you should not have drafted a player that has one sack at the top of the second round. And Willie, you presented a couple of comparisons, and I want to preface this because we know this is going to happen inevitably on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Can you believe Willie Donick said that Tavondre Sweat is going to be the next? And we'll talk about the players we're talking about. That's not what we're saying. But I thought the context was important. So I wanted to bring this conversation to the airwaves.
Well, we had quite a spicy discussion
yes,
the other
we
day.
Did.
And Jared also took the time to try to chirp me in the Lexus Lounge, that he was adamant that Tavondre Sweat is no more than a single. I think he's an easy double for a rookie and has a chance to grow into a triple or even a home run if he continues to develop. And Jared's point is he only has one sack. You can't get a guy in the second round who gets one sack. I think people have unrealistic expectations. I named off several second-round picks that never sniffed any production at all. Mm-hmm. I think if you start in the league,
yeah,
that you're at least a single right there, because you have all these busts like Kevin Dodd and Bishop Sankey, Justin Hunter, all these guys who had similar, you know, draft placement
exactly.
in the second round. But that didn't work for Jared. So Jared came in again, and D-Mace, you gave me a little bit of ammo to start it because if you look at the interior defensive lineman rookie in the league. Is it Pro Football Focus? He is by far he rates higher than any rookie interior defensive lineman, 76.3, which is a really solid number.
He has played more defensive snaps than any rookie defensive lineman in the NFL this season.
So that's to me that's we're easily a stand up double at this point. So now let's get to the sacks. So I asked Jared. I said, was Vince Wilfork a good player? Everybody remembers big Vince Wilfork, right?
I remember him in those overalls.
It's not that he's a good player. Vince was a great player.
He's a great player. Now, Vince Wilfork was drafted in the first round, okay? And I pinned Jared down. I said, yes or no, was Vince Wilfork a good player? Oh, yeah, he's a good player.
He's a Hall of Famer to me.
Okay, he was a five-time Pro Bowler. He played for New England and Houston. He's got some Super Bowls in there. AP, all pro, like Pro Bowl is one thing. He's also a four-time
All-Pro.
All-Pro. That's the real indicator. He had 16 sacks in his entire career.
How long did he play, Willie?
13 years.
Oh, okay.
Now, did I drive that point home to Jared?
No, no. What round he was drafted in?
The first round.
Oh, my goodness.
And how many sacks did he have?
16
in how many years?
In 13 years.
So, like, a sack a season? A sack and a half, maybe a season?
You could do the math. Yeah. I think even Jared could do the math. He had several years where he didn't have a single sack.
Yeah.
He made the Pro Bowl one year where he didn't have a sack.
16 sacks in 13 seasons. That's an average of 1.2-ish sacks per season.
His high was 3.5. And then I said, well, how about Haloti Ngah?
Haloti Ngah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer. Hey, okay. Haloti was drafted in the first round?
He was drafted in the first round.
Oh, okay.
Because Jared has been – in the second round, you got it. You know, Jared gets all worked up in that. Haloti Ngah, now he did have a couple years, but I looked at this. Now we're talking about Tavondre Sweat, the rookie. In his first 4 years, Haloti Ngah, this is D-Mace's time with the Ravens here. He had a total, because I asked everybody. I said I looked at his first 4 years. He had two Pro Bowl seasons in his first four, and he had. Here are the sacks in the first 4 years. One, his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
One. Three, the second year. Then one, Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
1.5, Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
A guy can impact the game and be an all-pro without sacking the quarterback at that position.
Yes.
I don't understand. Jared knows this, but he tries to – what he wants to do is sell that Rand Carthon doesn't know what he's doing. And he will not even give him credit where credit is due. I'm the first to tell you that a lot of what they have planned on having work out hasn't worked out at all.
No.
You know, he's all over Nicholas Petitfrere. I can't argue that.
No.
He hasn't done well at all. And they didn't have a good backup plan. Nothing has gone right at that position.
But that Rand's pick, Nicholas?
No, but they did go into the season, as you pointed out, mm-hmm. with these were the options at right tackle, and it didn't go well. Just like last year, the Andre Dillard, that was probably a bad plan, right? And
definitely.
some of that does have to go on Rand. I cannot defend Rand on that.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
But you have to acknowledge when you are wrong. And if Jared is sitting there going, here are the list of things that make this organization incompetent, you cannot include Tavondre Sweat on that
definitely
list, which he
not.
Does. Tavondre Sweat is going to be, I don't know if there is an all-rookie team, but if there is,
oh,
he's
he will make
easily
all
in there.
Team,
he's going to be the first team all-rookie
exactly,
team
yes.
at that position. And it doesn't matter. I don't say it doesn't matter. It's nice if you get some sacks, mm-hmm. for sure. But he is doing a very good job. He grades out very well. That is an excellent second-round pick. Haloti Ngah and Vince Wilfork were first-round picks.
Exactly.
16 sacks in 13 years.
But you can go down the line.
Haloti Ngah ended up with 32 sacks in his 13 years.
Yes.
32 in his career. He had a couple years where he had five.
Yeah. So he basically averaged three sacks per year,
right.
basically,
but
almost.
I think there could be a year where mm-hmm. – Tavondre Sweat gets five sacks someday if he keeps playing well. If he has an edge rusher that pushes the quarterback up
more
the pocket,
yeah.
he's going to get more sacks.
Bob in Mount Juliet says, if Sweat is so good, how come he never makes any plays that help the Titans win?
What is he talking about?
The team is not
good. Did you see
good.
The fumble he
exactly.
just picked up?
He caused I want to tell this person, did you watch that whole play? Because you just watched him – take the football from the little guy and rumble up the sidelines like he was Walter Payton. That's all you saw. But did you see him actually push the pocket, which he did? The quarterback had to step up because he pushed it right in his face. He stepped up, which led him to step into another guy, which the big fella with his nimble feet came back around. After he pushed the pocket, turned back around, and came and ripped the ball from the running back's hand. Tell me that's not a play that impacts a winning team. That is a play. It's just the Titans a bad team. That's all. But that was a winning play. Did they win? You're right. They didn't win. But that play right there, ask any coach in America, anybody, like of any sport, was his play a winning play? They will tell you, man, if you don't think that's a winning play, you don't know what you're looking at.
In the trenches, it's not going to be easy to see what the job is
exactly.
that those guys need to do. But
and nobody's watching the trenches like that.
Right. It's different than looking at a running back who scores a touchdown or a great catch a wide receiver makes. It's harder to see it. I get that. But you can't just say he hasn't done anything. Come on.
That's why I want people.
That's not, a nose tackle is supposed to eat up space, stop runs, draw double teams, open up things. He can move. He is an athlete. He does an excellent job.
That's
look at the
want,
greats. Don't take my word
exactly.
for it. Look at the greats.
I want Titan fans, like, I know there are a lot of hardcore Titan fans out there and a lot of Titan fans that have passion. And we love it when you come on the airwaves or you text in and you challenge us because that means that you still love your organization. You're still in there with it, and you just want to see better football. We understand that. But what I would task anyone – that love the Titans and then want to comment on the Titans after the game, which you have every right to, watch Tavondre Sweat play. Just watch him. Watch him. Look at him and nothing else when the defense is on the field. Watch him. You will see the impact that he has on the football game or on the offense when he's pushing a pocket, making that quarterback step left or step right, or he's flushing him out of pocket. He may not get the sack, but when he pushes that pocket, he's causing a collapse, which then it enables everybody else to try to get to the quarterback, or it flushes the quarterback outside the pocket. Just watch the big fella play. Has it been great every play? No, but he's been consistent. That's what he has been, and the numbers show it.
One texter says that he wishes he would have heard this happening live, our exchange at the end of the show yesterday. I did think about taking a video of it, but I didn't get there in time. But the passion that we have for all of you on this station, it carries over off the air. We have these conversations in person. We have them over text. It's continuous.
This is my final point on the draft, right? You got to have more from the second pick, right? I hear this with Latham a lot. You have a superstar with the seventh pick. Mike Herndon made that point the other day. You got to have a superstar. How unrealistic is that? And I'm not saying that you don't need to hit a home run every now and then. You got to have home runs.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about doubles here, right? We're not arguing that Latham and Sweat are home runs. Not yet. Maybe in 3 or 4 years. Hopefully they progress and they're closer to that. But right now they're off to solid starts in their career. They are doubles. It's Jaden Daniels is a home run, mm-hmm. right? He's changed the whole franchise with the way he's played. But for every home run, take a look at every draft year by year. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the seventh pick. We did this over the summer and grade each one. When you say you got to have a superstar with the seventh pick, it doesn't happen very often, right? Much more often it's a single or a double mm-hmm. or something like that. The home runs for every 10 years, there's probably two or three maybe at the seventh pick. That's my point. So just because a guy isn't a star with the seventh pick doesn't mean it's a bad pick. Mm-hmm. Isaiah Wilson's a bad pick.
Yeah.
Caleb Farley's a bad pick. Those guys gave you nothing, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a lot of range, and you have to wait and see what happens. But let's not penalize Rand Carthon for things that you shouldn't penalize him for. Latham and Sweat, those are guys you don't penalize him for. There's plenty of other things to criticize Rand Carthon for.
Yeah, and listen, with Latham, he's going to have some good play and he's going to have some bad plays. In this league, you know, the learning curve for certain positions are different. I have a higher chance of a receiver hitting than I do probably a left tackle. Why? Because this game is so geared toward passing the football, and they're implementing a lot what they do in college to the pros. So these guys come in, when you see a Ladd McConkley or you see a Brown from Detroit that were drafted in the third and fourth round, guys that, but all of a sudden now they get in the league and they make an instant impact. That's because the learning curve isn't so steep for them, because a lot of what they've learned is being translated to the NFL level. So they can go out there and they can play a lot freer because of the rules and everything else. That left tackle position, or sometimes those positions, the learning curve is a little bit different for those guys, where you may see some good play, but you're all you're also going to see some bad play in the mix of it. That's rookie football. You may every once in a while you'll have your Jonathan Ogdens or the left tackle in Philly that comes out right away, Orlando Pace, that just dominate as soon as they touch the field. But more times than not, you have guys progressing at that position. And we just hope that J.C. Latham is one of those guys.
We've and Skoronski for that.
And Skoronski. We've seen some good. We've seen some bad. But we know, at least with J.C. Latham, that, okay, he's shown more good than bad, and he the ceiling is a little bit higher for him.
615-737-1025. I can't wait for one of you to text Jared during his show and say, did you hear Willie Donick say that Javondre Sweat's going to be Vince Wilfork? I can't wait for that to happen because it is inevitable. 615-737-1025. It is time to ask D-Mace. 615-737-1025. So get your questions in for Derek now on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, 615-737-1025. Call us, text us. We've got all of the questions on the table for Derek Mason. We are live at Fordyce Center Bellevue as part of Coats for Kids. Bring a slightly used or new coat to us here or the Fordyce Centers in Antioch and Clarksville. But if you do come here, we still have two pairs of tickets to give away to the Predators game on Monday against the Carolina Hurricanes. So if you are one of the first two people to bring us a slightly new or used coat, you will get a pair of tickets to see the Predators and Hurricanes on Monday night. Ask D-Mace coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinken, 1025-1063. The game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
D-Mace, Vinken, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live at Fordyce Center Bellevue as part of Coats for Kids. So if you have a new or slightly used coat, bring it here. We could all use some warmth this holiday season. It's chilly out there today. Help somebody out. Bring us a coat. Help somebody out. But it's time.
Do we still have the standing offer? Or are the tickets spoken for?
The tickets have not been spoken for.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know.
Well, you failed to throw out a little incentive there.
I've thrown out lots of incentives, but yeah. I will continue to throw out the incentive. If you are near Fordyce Center Bellevue and you want to donate a slightly used or new coat this holiday season, the first two people to do so will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators host the Carolina Hurricanes on Monday evening. So you help us out, and you get a little something-something.
Yeah, a little freebie.
Yes, absolutely. And it should be an entertaining game. The Hurricanes, one of the better teams in the league. So if you would like to attend that game, help us out, drop off a coat. So, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Alex first. We'll do this. Alex is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Alex, thank you for calling. Please go ahead with your question for Derek.
Hey, D-Mates. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the Titans. It seems like there's been – do you think there's it seems like recently, ever since – I know things are bad at the Titans right now, but ever since, like, Vrabel was fired, there's been, like, a loud, like, narrative about, like, there being an ownership problem, like, being, like, as bad as the Panthers and like, the Jets. I just want to hear, like, what your opinion is right now. And I feel like a lot of it's because since Vrabel got fired. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Alex. I think a lot of it stems from not the actual firing of Vrabel. I think, you know, once they started losing, I think the fan base was kind of over the whole Vrabel sort of image and shtick, you know, or whatnot. They were done with it, or at least some of them were. I think it was, you know, the abruptness of firing John Robinson after, you know, you had just signed him not too long ago to an extension. And then you turn right back around and you fire him the very next season after you just signed him to an extension earlier, I think, and then obviously the team just sort of falling off the cliff after that, I think that's why people look at it as, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, this the owner seems to be in their minds, not in mine, but in their minds, incompetent or lack, you know, the knowledge to sort of make those moves that she made. So I think a lot of it has to do with that because, yeah, frankly, this team has gotten worse. And I'm not saying that, you know, it was her fault that the team got worse. But when you fire your GM in the middle of the season like that, you know, when you have a winning record, I think that at that point they were 7-5, then people tend to look at that as a, you know, a move that, you know, a competent owner wouldn't make a move like that. They would have waited to after the season, but they're holding that against her because how the team has looked ever since you made that move. I don't agree with it, but I know there are people that sort of think along those lines.
Willie, what do you think about that same question? I know it's not Ask Willie, but I would like to ask Willie about that same question.
You know, I don't see what the Vrabel firing. I would trace it back to the John Robinson firing, which I think started things down in a direction, and it was kind of a wild card thing. I think what you had for a while was continuity with Robinson and Vrabel, and you had a pretty good thing going. The problem was I don't know that this went into the mind. I don't know what the thinking was for Amy Adams Strunk when she decided to pull the plug. It seemed emotional, and it seemed to be triggered by the A.J. Brown. The A.J. Brown trade, I think, was a big, big thing in her mind, and just how poorly it turned out. It could not have turned out worse. That was a terrible trade in retrospect, right?
Yeah.
The day it was traded, you remember Mike Vrabel's body language. He didn't want John Robinson to do that. But it was building because you had the three empty drafts. So you put that on top of it. So owners are all different. They're all wild cards in some ways. But I do think she in particular is a wild card.
When you have that much money, you can't help but be a wild card.
Yeah.
You got enough room to fail.
Look what's happening on Capitol Hill now. That's all.
You got enough money to fall back on.
That's all I'll say. Hayes from Nashville says, Derek, should the Titans have tried to trade Will Levis this past offseason and let Brian Callahan pick a quarterback in this past draft, or do what they did by trying to build around Will Levis?
You know, even in retrospect, I think they did. They made the right decision because ultimately you had to see in the second round pick, you had to see what you got in him. You have to see that, you know, to give up on it. Because at that point, he had only played, five to six games at that point. So you had – and he showed – you know, he showed some promise there. So it was almost like, okay, we got to give him an opportunity to see if he can be that guy.
Was worth trying as a starter this
year.
So we'll
try to build around him.
What they didn't do was say it's a rebuild.
Exactly.
That's what they should have
said.
They
tried to win with him, win and get in the playoffs with this quarterback. I don't think it was a bad decision. You know, I think it was one of those decisions that a lot of GMs, you know, are forced to make. Like, listen, we need to see if this guy can really play. So let's try to build around him and give him the best opportunity to succeed. And that's what they thought they did. And both were a failure to some extent. Them, you know, saying we're going to put better players around them hadn't worked out completely. And then, obviously, them thinking, okay, if we do get some people around them, he'll be able to, you know, navigate it and show progress. And that hasn't happened. So, I mean, I don't blame him for doing it, but now they know he's not the guy. So what do you do now moving forward?
All right. So this is what I was actually going to start off with, but then Alex called in. So Bob in Mount Juliet, who had the text about I was about to say luxurious need, about Tavondre Sweat that we answered. Here's another question, and I'm just, Derek, I want you to take a deep breath as I'm reading this, okay? I just want you to get in your zone. I want you to take a deep breath.
Think happy thoughts.
Ask D-Maze.
Okay.
How come you and Chris Sanders and Teron Davenport always make excuses when someone with the Titans says something stupid? The ball didn't bounce their way, didn't have another meaning. Neither did Jarvis Brownlee saying guys were too cold. But you pretend like they meant something else. Your thoughts, Derek.
Okay, say that again.
How come you?
I was staying in my zen.
How come you and Chris Sanders and Teron Davenport always make excuses when someone with the Titans says something stupid? Yes, get the dump button ready.
Okay.
The ball didn't bounce their way, didn't have another meaning. Neither did Jarvis Brownlee saying guys were too cold, but you pretend like they meant something else. That's from Bob in Mount Juliet. Your thoughts.
Okay, why do I defend remarks like that?
I don't think you do it every time.
No, I don't think I do it every time. But
to say three guys all do the same thing every time, that's just not what happens.
Speaking of L'Jarius Sneed, before you answer that question, according to Paul Gaharski, L'Jarius Sneed likely to not come back.
Oh, wow.
His injury was very strange, very significant, says Callahan. So
at this point, I think
it doesn't make a lot of sense to have him come back, but it appears that L'Jarius Sneed's season
I'm sure
they didn't tell Paul something that he probably really didn't know already. But I'm glad Paul put that out there.
But that's a quote from
that was Brian Callahan after practice today.
Oh, so Paul just put it out there.
I do hope that at some point in the offseason they discuss more in detail what happened, because I think it's been unfair how there's been sort of a – and this may be part of what the Ask D-Mace question has to do with, because I like to give players the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. They're not every player can go up and articulate or wants to or is responsible to dictate every last detail about everything in his life to the media. Some choose to give more than others. But there's been some intimation this guy is like, is this a phantom injury, he didn't want to play or something. I don't think that's the case at all.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think he, you know, I think the way they handled all of it, you know.
It could have been better.
It could have been a lot better.
You've got to communicate. Absolutely. Communication is important. This is, again, build the narrative. This is how you get credibility with the fans.
Exactly. And the way they handled
it. And they did not handle that well.
They dropped the ball on that one. See, I'm not making an excuse for them for doing that. They dropped the ball on it. They could have handled it a lot better than what they did. But then when you handle it like that, it leads people to think, oh, it could be something else. Just like I talked about them with the whole Traylon Burks. Oh, so you just found out Traylon Burks had surgery, and that was 3 weeks ago? That's poor communication. So, when it's there for me to criticize them, I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to criticize them unfairly. I'm not that dude. So, that's what you're looking for, that's not what you're going to get from me. Every criticism I lay upon, the Titans, it's one that I feel they deserve, and it has to do with their play. Because I'm watching the same thing y'all are watching. It's bad play, so I'm going to criticize based upon that. But let me go back to the central question, the question that was asked. Okay, when Rand Carthon says the ball doesn't bounce, I've been in that sport long enough, or I've lived life long enough and I've heard that phrase said over and over and over again. And it's usually referred to as not necessarily the actual ball. It's just things didn't go our way. It probably would have been better if y'all heard him say, well, man, things just didn't go our way. But then y'all would have got on for that, for saying things didn't go their way. Well, make things go your way. That's what would have been the reply. If you were a good team, you will make things go your way. That would have been the reply. But he chose to use a phrase that is used commonly throughout sports and life. The ball just didn't bounce our way, which in theory he's right. But y'all, the ball doesn't bounce your way when you're not a good team. That's what happens. When you're not a good team, those one-score games or those close games, they don't go your way because you don't have the horses to run that type of race. Look at Kansas City. They've had more one-score games than anybody this season, I believe. But they're a good team. So they have the horses. So the ball bounces their way because they're a good team. You force the ball to bounce your way in situations like that. When Rand Carthon says that, at least to me, and this is only me, when he says something like that, as a sports guy, hearing that reference more times than not, I, in my mind, believe I know what he's saying. He's saying, listen, we're just not a good team right now. and things are not bouncing our way. But that's a part of not being a good team. So when he says that, and when Brownlee says maybe, see, that's the words. See, that's the things that you are not understanding. Listen to all of it. Listen to the whole thing. If you listen to the whole thing, he said maybe. The key word was maybe. He didn't know. He didn't know. He should have just kept it to himself.
Yes. When you're thinking maybe,
exactly.
You don't
when
say
you're thinking
it.
Maybe, yeah. don't even put it out there. So don't lump everybody together. So what I would ask you is go back and listen to that particular interview and listen to his words. Don't just listen to one thing. Listen to the whole sentence, his whole answer, because what he's saying is maybe that's the case. I don't know. He said it was cold, but then he said, well, I know what it takes, and I know coming to this level, you got to play in the cold. Well, if you know that, why even bring it up? And you don't know for sure that's how your other fellow teammates felt, because you said, again, maybe that was the case. That's all I'm saying. So I mean, listen, I am going to defend them when I believe they need to be defended. But also, if you listen to the show, which I know you do, I also criticize when I feel there's criticism needed. Listen, I'm an equal opportunist right here. You either if you do bad, I'm gonna say you do bad. If you do good, I'm gonna say you do good. I'm not one of these people that's just gonna pile on a team or somebody just because everybody else is doing it.
615-737-1025. If we have any stray calls or texts for Derek as part of Ask D-Mace, you can continue to get them in at 615-737-1025. We're out at Fordyce Center Bellevue as part of Coats for Kids. Bring a new or slightly used coat, and you'll get a pair of tickets to see the Predators. The first two people, I should say. And those tickets are still available. So if you're nearby, come see us. Get a pair of tickets. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you live at Fordyce Center Bellevue as part of Coats for Kids. Bring a new or slightly used coat to us. Help somebody out. And we'll help you out by giving you a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Hurricanes on Monday. We have two pairs of tickets. They are still up for grabs. So please stop by, help someone out, and have an early Christmas present by attending a Predators game on Monday. So one of the tidbits out of Brian Callahan's news conference, we mentioned it in passing in the previous segment, but L'Jarius Sneed, who's been out for many, many weeks, his season is likely over. Not a surprise, because we haven't seen L'Jarius Sneed in a while, but his season is over. And, Willie, you were just talking about return on investment, and I thought it was an interesting point, and I wanted you to bring it up here.
I think it's a really good case study of the plight of any general manager. And the you don't have a crystal ball. There's risk and reward for everything you do. So in consecutive years, Rand Carthon, and this is the mystery that I don't know if we'll ever get the full answer or anybody knows the full answer except for Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams, Rand Carthon back in the close, you know, in the deep dark world. But the Titans traded a third round pick to move up in the second round to get Will Levis, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Then last year they traded a third round pick to get L'Jarius Sneed. So that's 2 years in a row where they traded a pretty decent asset, a third-round pick. We never know if the third-round pick's going to be special or not, but this team lacks depth. They need draft picks, and they use some draft capital to take a shot at the corner that is they thought was a game-changing top-end corner, right? They traded a third-round pick to take a shot at the toughest position to find, and that is a solid quarterback. Forget about a franchise quarterback. That's the pie in the sky. That's the hope. But just the next really good quarterback for the Titans. And so far, the return on investment has been it's a nothing for Will Levis. They're back to the drawing board on that front. So that's sunk. Sneed, the first season, sunk. Right? Where does it go from here? I don't know. There's obviously some health issues long term that makes you wonder if you're going to get bang for your buck there at all. But I guess my point would be this. When you say those that want to clear out Rand Carthon, clean house, start over, I don't trust these guys, let's get somebody with experience in there. Was that a bad move on the day that they did it? I would argue that there is risk involved in everything you do, and sometimes you're just going to bust. But I don't think that those were bad moves necessarily the day that they did it. It's easy to say now, 2 years after the fact, as we sit here today going, they don't know what they're doing. Those are bad moves. That's easy to say now. But at the time, I thought it was a worthy risk at positions that it's tough to find. And you got to give up something to get something sometimes.
So, by the way, before you answer that question, Derek, so the trade for Will to move up to Will Levis, okay. Because I had to be reminded of it myself. So they took Will Levis with the 33rd overall pick.
Right, early second round.
Right, so it was a trade with the Arizona Cardinals. Tennessee sent number 41 and 72 in that draft and a third round pick in the 2024 draft to Arizona in exchange for the 33rd pick, which they used on Will Levis in number 81 in the third round. So that was the trade for Will Levis.
So the net result is they traded a third round pick.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
I mean, they went out and they earmarked some guys, but more importantly, they earmarked positions that they wanted to try to improve on. And the most glaring one, obviously, was the left tackle position. They felt they went out via the draft, and they drafted a guy who could be a long-term fix. Now, listen, J.C. Latham has played some good football, but he's a rookie, and he has a learning curve. But I do believe he will get there. He will be a guy that mans that position for a good while. What's a good while? I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, somewhere around there, if he stays healthy. I think he's that type of player. But then they went and addressed the wide receiver position. It started off a little shaky with Calvin Ridley, but he seems to have picked it up since the trade of D-Hop. And they've gotten some production out of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, which we knew they were going to get, but not to this magnitude as far as the touchdown catches. They've gotten a little bit more lately out of Chigakonkwo. They've gotten somewhat, it's been a mixed bag with Tyler Boyd. He's made some plays, but then he's been a no-show at
And you're
well.
Going through the whole portfolio.
Exactly.
And I think every general manager is going to say, look, if I get two out of every three right, I'm coming out way ahead, right?
But what I'm saying, yeah.
But I think those are two really good questions. And I think of Barry Trotz, too. Mm-hmm. Jared has tried to get Barry Trotz to – do you regret signing Marcus O, Stamkos? And they had a really interesting discussion about this, Barry, because Barry Trotz doesn't dodge the question. He gives thoughtful answers to that. But on the day that they did it, was any – I don't say – there were people going, okay, let's see. It's fantasy hockey, and, you know, we see how the pieces fit and all that. But nobody was saying, oh, man, why would they go and get 240 goal scorers?
You know
what were they thinking?
You know what I say to
Sometimes
people in that situation?
Work.
I say, if Steven Stamkos – wants to sign with your team, who are you to say no? That is my response. Has it worked out so far this season? No, it has not. But this is the other example I use. Let's say the Predators were rumored to be involved in Steven Stamkos. He signed somewhere else. And then there was a report that, the Stamkos had interest in the Predators, but the Predators decided not to do it, or they didn't want Steven Stamkos. Something along those lines. People are going to say, can you believe Barry Trotz didn't want Steven Stamkos?
Right.
That's it has not worked out so far this season.
Right. When it's not going your way, you're going to hear all of this. That's the tough part about being a GM. Jared, this would be another thing on the Snead situation. If he had a knee injury, then I think in retrospect you can say, well, that was maybe too much of a risk. You knew he had some knee question marks, and you spent a third-round pick and you paid him big. But it's not a knee injury, right?
No.
Jared will have you believe that they are trying to fool everybody and sneaky and lying to you. I don't believe that. There's no evidence to suggest that. But sometimes it doesn't work out. But the GM has to shoulder. But on the day of the day, I try to evaluate was that poor thinking? Was that poor reasoning? I thought there was risk. I don't know if they knew. I don't know if they were going to be able to win, even if Snead had a great year. Mm-hmm. the key is, can Snead be good for the next 3 or 4 years? But the first year, obviously, is a big strikeout. But I don't think it was a bad thought, or a bad move to go down that road.
615-737-1025. It is college football playoff game day. The first of 4 first-round games of the weekend is here. We'll talk about the college football playoff and our expectations for those games, specifically, of course, Tennessee and Ohio State. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinken, 1025, 1063, the game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.